Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Praise the Lord. We're so glad that you've tuned in to our second AENLFC 2016 orientation training meeting. We are in the process of bringing forth detail to those things that you will be required to do for the candidates. We are also asking our accountability partners to partner with you as you journey through your ordination process. And so they, too, are a part of the training, and we appreciate them giving of themselves and their time and committing themselves to you. We thank God that He has elevated and He has seen your labor of love, and He is bringing elevation into your life in the kingdom. And so we will start our evening off of training with a prayer. Do we have Bishop or Pastor Hooks on the line? You can open us up in prayer. Those are two members of the ordination committee who have dedicated their time and their energies and their talents to perfecting this process for you. And it will be Pastor Hooks who will bring us our training for this evening, as well as Elder Deborah Wilson will come forth with a detailed presentation of accountability partners and what it looks like in this process. Well, we will thank God. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to gather. We thank you, Lord, for the technology that causes us to be able to reach out and touch one another. We pray, O Lord, that we do not use this technology to slack in assembling ourselves together, but rather we use it to perfect the body and to edify the members of the body. And as we gather here this evening, we pray for clarity in the sound of the session, in accuracy of that which is presented. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that those that are on their way in cars and in homes where they are involved in their daily routine, that they won't be distracted, so that the information given will rest on good soil, and that their minds and their bodies and their spirits will be prepared, Lord, for that which you have ahead for them. We pray, O Father, that as we go forth, we will go forth in excellence in all things that represent the kingdom and our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness, O God, and give in us a clean heart, Lord, so that we might serve you. And in serving you, we will serve one another in love, provoking one another to love. Let our love be contagious, and let it heal and prepare the atmosphere, O Lord, that the kingdom daily. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We would like to start off this evening seeing if there's anybody that had questions that went unanswered, or as we went forth last week with the detail, with a summary of those things that are required of you. But if you had questions, we wanted to make sure we addressed the questions. And a couple of the questions were involved as related to the personality test, and that personality test is found online. That website, Minister Sharita will get a memo out summarizing this meeting, and you will have it in that email, and that way you can make reference to it. Because I know sometimes if you're driving, you know, you can't stop just to write something down. But the website for the personality test, we will send to you, and you are required to do it online And if you don't have that, I just ask that you let me know in advance of the due date. And the due date will is fast approaching for all of the forms and required writings that you need to do. And I do encourage you to just get them done and get them in. Turn in your application. Turn in your gift assessment, your statement of faith, your conversion. All of these things we would like to have in advance, not all at once, so that we can review them and we can give you a more excellent evaluation and review and direction as we go forth. I'd encourage you to be diligent in answering your questions, whether you're doing Defend the Faith or whether you're doing the theological questions that are required of those that are going through this process for elevation a second time. And again, we do encourage you to make sure you or your and your accountability partner are well informed to be on the line every Thursday at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. And the place to be on the line is on our computer. I'm going to play a song briefly, and then we will get started.
When I consider the vastness of God and all of the marvelous attractions that his hands have made, flowers and birds and oceans and mountains, truly God is an awesome wonder.
You are an awesome wonder. No other power compares to you. Perfect in all your ways, every day. Faithful ever true. Oceans applaud you.
Oh,
He is an awesome wonder. We thank God for knowing us and calling us. Is Elder Deborah on the line?
Yes, good evening, Overseer.
Good evening. You're up.
Okay.
Okay, Elder Deborah will bring us our insight into accountability partners.
Good evening. Am I correct in assuming that people have the handouts, that the handouts have been forwarded to the candidates and the accountability partners?
I sincerely hope so.
Okay. If there is someone on the line who wants to let me know, I certainly don't want to read that out.
Go ahead. Well, we can, but a lot of, you know.
I'm still here.
Because a lot of people may not be in a position to right now to look at it, driving or with kids. So we'll just go forth as though they do.
Okay. Well, then, normally would not be my place to be reading this, but I do want to get the information just as a quick overview regarding the whole idea of accountability partners. If you don't have this document, then it will be sent to you. It has been forwarded out. The purpose of the accountability partner, it's designed to assist the candidate during the ordination process by pairing them with someone who has been prayerfully selected and approved. This individual has also gone through an ordination process, and they understand the challenges that arise. Partners are committed to rely upon the Holy Spirit for direction and guidance. All parties must operate from a position of confidentiality and trust. And I just want to stop right there, Ed, just to reiterate that this wasn't done haphazardly, that there was prayer and thought in the pairing of the candidate with the accountability partner. And in order for this relationship to work, that all parties must operate from a position of confidentiality and trust, that there has to be a trust factor when you're sharing intimately with one another. And there is, I don't know what else to say other than, you know, in order for the accountability partner relationship to work, that you have to be able to know that you're in a safe space, that you're in a place of trust, and what's shared will not be shared with anyone else. That is crucial, because we are taking, in most cases, two individuals who don't know each other and asking you guys to trust each other to be able to share this journey throughout the process with each other. And there's not a whole bunch of time to do this, so we are asking you to kind of put this on in being intentional with it, and it certainly can work. I've been through it. The accountability partners, the reason why there is a select group is because they've been through the process, so they understand the process of elevation, ordination, that process, and they have been on the other side of that. The accountability partnership is based on an agreed willingness to share openly and honestly. In some cases or some instances, the dialogue may be awkward, uncomfortable, even painful. We must trust the ministry of the Holy Spirit to instruct the partners to pray, what to pray, and how to counsel. And this is not just for the partners, but for the candidates as well, that you must have a willingness to share.
I can't do it right now.
To share openly and honestly.
Press the bottom one and, no, press the top and take it up.
Okay, someone is actually has their phone not on mute. If we can just ask you to make sure your phone is on mute. Amen. Like I say, this is not just the accountability partner, but this is the candidate as well, where you have to be willing and to surrender to the process. And talking about the conversation that might be shared that has the possibility to be uncomfortable or awkward, we want you to be able to feel that you can share your innermost thoughts concerning the process or where you are in the process, how that's making you feel. There are some characteristics of the process that I will share in a moment that hopefully will make that a easier transition to be able to share. Accountability urges the candidate to be responsible for all acts and behaviors with the knowledge that their accountability partner will lovingly and consistently challenge them to share genuine and transparent reasoning for the behavior. So you may be called on the carpet for something that you've shared, something that you've done, and your accountability partner may ask you, hey, why did you make that choice? Why did you do that? Why did you choose that behavior? And they're looking for a genuine reason, not just to be blown off, but something that is real, genuine, and transparent. And so that you would feel that you have, that this is not only a safe place, but that you can share, no matter if you're sharing something that is positive as well as something that is negative. Your accountability doesn't turn into your therapist, but they turn into someone who can walk alongside of you, understanding that the process of elevation and ordination brings its own unique set of challenges. And because they've been there, they're in a unique position to be able to share with you. Your accountability partner, and speaking from the candidate for candidate, from the position of a candidate, the accountability partner will assist the candidates in staying focused and true to their goals and commitments. So, you know, we are assuming that you are sharing where you want to be, you know, what your ministry looks like. I know that there is a mission statement and the vision statement, those types of things. So you're sharing your goals, your commitments, and the accountability partner is someone there to remind you and to question you, to relate to you about your benchmarks and as well as your breaches. So the things that you do as well as the commitments that you don't keep to yourselves. Partners need to be genuinely interested, and we're going to talk about the participants a little bit later, spiritually invested. Spiritually invested meaning that you are praying for your candidate, fasting possibly if the Holy Spirit is leading you in that direction, and that you have to be intentionally purposed, that you have to be relational, that you have to be available. And what that process looks like is that the accountability partner process consists of contact with your candidate, speaking to the partners right now, hopefully on at least a biweekly basis. I know that might seem like a lot to call twice during the week, but we want you to develop a not only a trust but a support relationship, and to get to know your candidates. You can contact them a variety of ways, by phone, text, email. We even encourage, if you're in a situation and it's agreed upon by both, to maybe be able to have a coffee or have a face-to-face, that type of a situation. The accountability partner is the one responsible for initiating the contact. They don't necessarily have to be responsible for every contact, but in initiating the contact, that this is an agreement where you have agreed to walk alongside. So we want the accountability partner to initiate that contact. But if there is a voicemail left or a text, then we certainly expect that the candidate would take responsibility, follow up, call back, however that contact is being made, you know, via text, via email, like I said. And I would suggest that your you're talking to each other. Sometimes things are lost in transition when it's just a text type situation. You lose as far as being able to have a response and a dialogue when you're doing that. But we do encourage contact from a variety of ways. There are some things that we have tasked the accountability partner to do. We're hoping that the conversation would cover a variety of issues, that there would be prayer between the accountability partner and the candidate, that prayer, that there would be open dialogue, that would be transparent, that they would share words of encouragement and wise counsel. We're hoping that this relationship blesses not only, it's not just the accountability partner to the candidate, but that the accountability partner be blessed as well. The accountability partners have been tasked or asked to provide 5 questions that will be presented to Overseer Thornton, and these 5 questions will be or can be used during the questioning process, during the ordination process on Friday evening. So in order to know what and how to structure what it is that the questions will encompass, the accountability partner will record weekly notes and observations for purposes of reflection as well as purposes of compliance. And we are hoping, if you are not looking at the accountability document, when you get that and open that up, the last page of that, there's a contact follow-up sheet on there. And you can just take that and make some copies, and there's a place for the date. Obviously, you know who your ordination candidate is, but there is a place for names. And there's also a section for questions, concerns, observations, scriptures to share, just something to give you a format, some scaffolding, if you will, to have some things to be able to share, and anything that would come to you while you are sharing. So keep that in mind, accountability partners, that you will be asked for those 5 questions. If you are not looking at the document under Section 3 says planned. And I chose the word planned to kind of piggyback on the whole idea that nothing happens by accident, that whoever you are matched up with, that the process that has been given to the way that this whole process is structured, what God has given overseer and apostle, that there are characteristics in this accountability partnership relationship and corresponding scriptures. And if someone can tell me whether you have these scriptures in front of you or not, I don't want to go through, or if we go through the scriptures, it would be helpful and maybe interactive if you are looking at the document, that someone can read off the scripture. So if there is someone out there as far as the candidates and or the accountability partners, if you are looking at that document, will you please just let me know? Otherwise, I can tell you what scripture I'm referencing.
Yes, everyone should have had that. It was sent out along with the garment.
Okay. So if you would, those that, of you that are on the line, could get those scriptures. I don't know if Pastor Hooks is on the line or how much time I have over here. But do we have time to look at these scriptures briefly?
Or do you want me to just move forward? Why don't we go forward? But what we will make as your homework for those on the line, they look those scriptures up in the coming week. All right. And we're going to call on different ones to present these scriptures after we get the training on the garments. that's going to be a part of maybe every week. We'll get two people, and you won't know, so you're going to have to study and be prepared to do accountability to God or accountability to Christ or mutual growth and what that scripture is communicating to you. So that's your first homework, the first homework for all of the candidates and the accountability partners. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, then, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, go ahead, and then, you know, around 7:30, we'll turn it over to Pastor Hook.
Okay. Under that section, under planned, I was just sharing that there are characteristics in the accountability partnership relationship that have spiritual significance. And as Overseer just said, that can be something that we will share. And I won't share the scriptures, but some of those characteristics are to be active listeners and non-judgmental, being accountable to God, being accountable in Christ, the whole idea of wise counsel and companionship, and that iron sharpens iron. And lastly, in dealing with the accountability partners, for the participants, and this is for the accountability partners, that just to remind you on that selection process that it was that you were uniquely paired and prayerfully selected, that people are doing this because they have a love of God, they want to be part of the process, and just as the accountability partners have committed to be intentional, we want the candidates to be intentional as well and to participate willfully and totally to submit to that process, to be open and thoughtful and genuine in the sharing, to be transparent, and to be accountable to make that that connection on a weekly, biweekly basis. So the last page of that is just with the contact follow-up sheet and some questions that the accountability partners can use to share, and we don't want the or needs to feel like they're being exposed, but there are some questions out there, and you and your accountability partners can go over that, and we can deal with any of the other questions that you might have on next week. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Elder Deborah. And anyone that has any questions, you can email me at pc_thornton@yahoo.com. And we will make sure we address those questions either immediately or at our next meeting. We now have Pastor Hooks.
I just wanted to make sure. She was talking about the scriptures that begin with joyful and prayerful.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. And again, it's that entire list that we want the candidates to be and the accountability partners to be familiar with. Going forward in our weekly session. Are there any more questions or concerns? You can also text me at my phone number. Some of the things that maybe right now you would like addressed. So if you text me to my phone number, I can get that as well. And that phone number is 630-701-4303. Pastor Hooks.
Praise the Lord and good evening, everybody. Can you hear me all right, Overseer?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you. Amen. And forgive my lateness. This has just been one of those weeks. As this class happened last week, can't tell. But, hey, amen. I am here, thank God. And I'm going to begin with a question. Who can tell me the difference between your civic attire and your choral dress?
Amen.
I'm sorry. Accountability partners, do not answer. This is for the candidates. Hello?
Don't be timid. We know you're there.
That's Pastor, Minister, Pastor Bethel. Your civic attire is what we wear out, which consists of your collar, your clergy shirt, black or white, and your black suit. Your choral attire is your ceremonial garments, which is your robe, your cassock, and all of those things, your cincture, all of your vestments.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. I am I correct in asserting that everybody has the packet, correct?
Yes, sir. It was sent out.
Amen. Amen. So I don't have to do word for word, but I definitely have to pray. So, God, we just thank you. We bless you for this opportunity to teach. And I pray, oh, God, that you will be with me, with us, oh, Lord Jesus, and be in the midst of this gathering in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 I needed that, y'all. I needed that, y'all. I'm almost stressed today. I'm almost.
Amen.
All right. So, so if I'm not mistaken, we do not have apostles, bishops, prophets, or overseers, correct, being ordained or elevated?
Not on the line.
Not on the line, right. So I am not going to do those.
Amen.
I will start, based on the list, I will start with pastors as far as vestments go, but I do see that we have the offices, and I do want to just take a minute and look at the offices, and I definitely encourage everybody. I want to encourage everybody who are, as you are studying for your particular office, that the Holy Spirit gives you full revelation, complete understanding, and I do encourage you to ask him for understanding, and not just as the office, as the Bible declares and describes the office in Scripture and in general, but as it relates to you, as it relates to your position, your work, and your call. I like to do when I, amen?
Amen, amen.
Oh, all right. So what I like to do when I talk about the office is look at the five G's. I love the fact that it's five G's, just like we have five fingers on our hand. And so when we look at the first one, the apostle, which would be your index finger, or in my illustration, I am holding up my index finger, and that is the finger that gathers. I hope I'm using the right finger. No, I'm not. It's the thumb. I'm sorry. It's the thumb. It gathers. The one thing you notice about the thumb is that the thumb can touch every one of the fingers, for one. And also, when you make a fist, your thumb covers all of your fingers or surrounds all of your fingers. And so the apostle is the appointment of the apostle in my G usage is to gather. The prophet grounds, and what I mean by that is the prophet then takes the word and ministers the word in such a way that it gets ground into your heart. It gets ground into your spirit. And so they are inspired speakers. They are foretellers. They are the breath and speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The evangelist, our evangelist on the call, you gird. You minister a word, you minister the gospel that girds and inspires and encourages the people. So, and it's different than a prophet. Understand that it's different than a prophet. Most importantly, because The evangelist speaks the evangel, speaks the gospel, is anointed to minister a gospel word, but is also anointed, I do believe, and I pray that we begin to see this again in effect in the body of Christ. It is the evangelists that are that have this anointing to even minister the word to the hard-hearted, to cause them to be to desire to receive the good news, to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. But they minister a word in such a way that it girds individuals so that they are strengthened in their faith. The pastor guards, that is the ministry gift that guards and feeds and tends to the needs of the sheep. And I, even as a pastor, I don't want to elevate my office, though it is an honorable office. I just want us to understand that if we are pastoring and doing anything but guarding God's sheep, we are not pastoring. And I want us to keep that in mind. Lastly, the teacher grinds. And if I go back to using my finger analogy, imagine just taking your little finger and digging into your ear. You are taking the word of God and you are pressing it into your soul, into your heart, and that's the job of the teacher, to make sure that you understand it. Somebody said to me today, repetition is the best form of, best way to educate, and that's, again, part of this whole grinding thing. It is just turning it over, turning it over, turning it over, turning it in, turning it in, and that's the task and the job of the teacher, and I just wanted to do those five, but we also honor and acknowledge the bishop and the overseer, the elder, all of which have their own respectable and biblical offices. Our deacons, our ministers, our missionaries, again, all having their own respectable and biblical and important offices. And so each of these then have a particular garb and a particular dress because they, in a sense, separate. And the job is not to separate as in divide, but separate just as into acknowledge and identify who is who and who is what. And so when we look at our garments, we honor the fact that, one, they're separated by color. So every each office dresses in a particular color, but they're also separated by the particular garments that they wear. And so, again, I won't go and do each one specifically, but we do see the apostles are mainly in scarlet red. Presiding apostles are in scarlet red. Apostles are in fuchsia. Roman bishops are in Roman purple. Prophets would wear gold. Overseers are in English blue. So let's now look at the pastors. And we'll look at the pastors and we'll look at the garments that they wear, and I just go over their meanings and their significances. Understanding that these garments can be traced to the biblical garments of the Levite in the Old Testament and to garments that are mentioned in the Bible. Some of them have been, I don't want to say made derivatives or elaborated on, but they are, you know, definitely not as they were worn in biblical times. So our garments are the for the pastors and for everybody, really. But you're going to wear, specifically for the pastors, are your cassock, your, and unfortunately my printing is bad, but I think that's your black or white clergy shirt, your collar, which is a 2-inch collar, your cincture, your surplice, your tippet, your cross, your prayer shawl, and your Bible. And the cross for pastors are going to be silver. For elders, it is a black cassock, your black or white clergy shirt, your collar, which is 2-inch, your cincture, your surplice, your prayer shawl, tippet, and Bible. So the only difference between elders and the pastors, because I know you say they're the same thing, the pastor's surplice is calf length, and you'll see that in the picture that you receive, the longer surplice, whereas with the elders, the surplice should be basically half length, so it'll come to your waist. And so it will be shorter, and that's the only difference with respect to the elders and the pastor. And that's the general. Now, of course, with your prayer shawls, and this is for everybody, your prayer shawl can and should be different because the prayer shawl reflects your ministry gift and calling. So when we look at the evangelist has the black cassock, the clergy shirt, your 2-inch collar, a cincture, prayer shawl, tippet, and Bible. Teacher, also cassock, shirt, collar, cincture, prayer shawl, tippet, and Bible. Your missionary, Stephen ministers, and ministers are the cassock, black and white clergy shirt, collar, which is 1 inch, cincture, prayer shawl, and tippet. And I don't know why the Bible's not on there, but everybody should have their Bible. And then the deacon does not have the cassock. They have the deacon vest, as well as your brother band, which is one of the tab type of collars, or you can do the 1-inch collar with your black or white clergy shirt. Now, that's all listed. We also have listed the significances, so let's look at the significances. Before I go any further, are there any questions?
Pastor, I would like for you to share with the pastors the length of the chain, because they have to be
okay.
A certain length. Okay.
Amen.
And the fact
so if I'm not mistaken,
I'm sorry?
Beg your pardon?
No, and I was going to say, and the fact that the inch of the collar is the width and not the length, because it should go all around. It's not a tab, but it's a full collar.
Oh, yes, thank you. Okay, so, yes, and you'll see it, the collar, in your images, the collar that the black man is wearing, the black minister is wearing with the clergy shirt, that is the one that goes around the entire neck. So the measurement that you see, 2-inch or 1-inch, does not mean the length of it. It is the width, or specifically the height when you're wearing it. So how far up it goes, how far it goes up your neck. So that's the difference. And so pastors, elders, evangelists, and teachers would have a 2-inch high, or again width, depending on how you're holding it, collar, and your missionaries, ministers, and your deacons would have a 1-inch collar. But these go all the way around the neck, and they are not tabs, as some would wear. Did that answer every question you had?
Amen.
Okay. All right.
And
so,
just the chain, the length of chain.
Yeah, thank you, the chain. So those that wear chains, and these are our pastors. Yes, our pastors. Your chain should be with the cross, should be hanging down to your chest. And so, of course, that everybody's height, you know, is different, but that should be about a 36-inch chain, end to end. Which now the reality is, when you purchase the chains, they're not going to have the little clasp, so that you. Well, some of them might, but I haven't seen any where you can open up the chain, because it should be long enough that you just place it over your head, so you don't need a clasp on it. You might not find all of them to be 36 inches, but again, if you are, you know, a shorter person, a 26, 27, 28-inch chain might do you fine. But the point of it is that you have it where the cross itself is resting at or below your chest. All right. Our meanings and our significances of these items. But so starting with your collar, and I kind of want to start off with, we're doing it in this order as well, not because it's alphabetical order, but because this is how you will wear them as far as putting what is put on first, what is put on second, so on and so forth, when you're vested. Now, the reality is the majority of you will actually have this on, your clergy shirt and your collar, on the day of the ordination with your black suit. So you will come down in your civic attire. Again, requesting that you do not wear the bibs or the rabbits, but a full shirt, just because if you have on a suit jacket, we're going to take that jacket off of you. And I would not encourage you to be out there in just a bib and just a T-shirt or an undergarment of some sort. Now, there are other options that I believe some people do. I just can't think of them off the top of my head. But I want to encourage modesty, and I don't want anybody to be embarrassed when we're down there for any reason. So I encourage the full shirts and with your collars, and those, for the most part, I think everybody will have theirs, especially those that have that are going from one office to another. If this is your first ordination, you will turn your collars in, but I'll talk about that later. Your collar represents the yoke of obedience. It is God's desire, it is our desire, that we be obedient to the word of God. And so I love this, because the collar, oftentimes you go out with your collar on and people will see you and treat you differently, and you'll forget that. You'll forget that you have the collar on. It's happened to me a number of times. And so I want us to always remember that we need to be reminded who we are in Christ. And so this collar should also remind you who you are, remind you of your office, remind you of your position in the kingdom, the fact that you are not just a peculiar people, but you are a royal priesthood. And that's a little separate, because I don't want to get away from the fact that it represents the yoke of obedience. And when we talk about the yoke of obedience, I've been studying Leviticus, and the animals that were used in the sacrifice, one of them, and I think it was the bullock or the oxen, represents the Jesus as a servant. And these oxen were yoked, and they could not go anywhere except that they were pulled to go in that direction by their masters. And the same thing speaks to us. We are yoked. And the as servants, we should not and cannot do or go anywhere except our master allows it. And our master is Adonai, Jesus, the Lord ruler, our God and our Christ. And so we need to respect and acknowledge the fact that we are servants of his righteousness and slaves to his holiness. And we belong to the kingdom of God. And so that is why we wear the collar. The cassock is the workman's garb and is the symbol of a servant. I think we also need to acknowledge the fact that so far everything that we're being draped in tells us that we're a servant, and that we should be humbled and stay humbled in these offices that God has called and saw fit to ordain us into. This garment, the cassock, is modeled after what Jesus wore the day he was crucified, and so it is worn as a symbol of humility and servitude, and we wear it to honor the Lord. Some will not have, I want to encourage you, and it's, of course, a financial thing, but there are cassocks that we would encourage you to have that have 33 buttons. Not everybody can purchase a cassock that has 33 buttons, and we honor and acknowledge that. But we would encourage those that can to get a cassock that has 33 buttons. We don't stress how embellished it is, and if it's all ornate or anything like that, that's not necessary. But amen. The next thing is the cincture, and so again, when we talk about vesting, you'll put on your collar, you'll put on your cassock, or you'll be vested with your cassock, and then you'll have your cincture put on. And the cincture is like a belt or a girdle that goes around your waist. It is worn to reflect Jesus and the towel wherewith he was girded when he washed the disciples' feet, and you'll find that in the New Testament in John 13, and as he washed the disciples' feet. And we identify with that because he said that you cannot have any part with me except unless I wash your feet. And we want to receive that, that we are wearing that not just because we have a part with him, but we are serving people so that they too will have part with him. And it is identified as well with Ephesians 6:14, where we have our loins girt about with truth. And so not only do we walk in obedience, we walk in truth. Not only do we walk in obedience, we walk in truth. Amen. And I am reminded that, and I'm going back, that your chain should be 36 inches. So not 27, not shorter than 36. Your chain should be 26 inches for the pastors. Amen. I'm going to pause here again and see if anybody has any questions. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. The next garment is your surplice or your rochet. So for those that have a surplice, our pastors and our elders, your surplice, pastors, should be 3 1/4 length, so it should go down to your leg. For your elders, it should be half length, so it should just go to your waist. Your surplice is a symbol of the priesthood and of worship. A symbol of the priesthood and of worship, and it is modeled after the ephod. The surplice, again, is worn by pastors and elders. The rochet, which I will not talk about, but it means the same thing. It just looks differently. The rochet is worn by prophets, bishops, overseers, and apostles. So as a symbol of the priesthood, we receive the opportunity, the invitation to serve as a priest in all its royalty, in all its dignity, in all its grace and authority. It's at this point that I really feel led to say, when you get your garments, again, I'll reiterate because I said this to you last week, when you get your garments, pray over your garments. Pray over your garments. Pray over yourself in your garments. Pray over yourself as you pray for your garments. Because sometimes we need to see ourselves in these garments and see ourselves in this office as God sees us in this office. He sees us as priests. He sees us as having his authority. He sees us as walking in his truth and operating in his truth. And so, and operating in royalty, operating in dignity. And oftentimes we don't see that. And so the prayer should be, God, that you change my mind. The prayer is, God, you purify my heart and renew my mind. Give me wisdom, give me grace to walk in this office. I'm not going to talk about the shear so much. It is a prophetic office garment worn, again, by your prophets and overseers and bishops and apostles. But it is the garment of the chief preacher and the defender of the faith. Next, your tippet. And if I'm not mistaken, again, everybody will get a tippet, and you all will talk about getting a tippet later on. But the tippet represents the yoke. It is worn by all clergy, and upon it will be the symbols of the crest of your spiritual affiliation. So those of us that have been ordained have the tippets for LFC, the Apostolic Ecumenical Network, LFC Ministries. And some of us have tippets for the churches that we also pastor. And so when you get your tippet, it will have the symbols or the crest on them, your spiritual affiliation. And you'll see the image of the tippet. And you'll have a stole on there as well, and the tippet kind of looks like the stole. But we don't use the stole anymore. We have gone to the tippet to use that. I will skip Zucchetto. I will skip Crozier. I will skip the mitre and just go down to the cord and to our chains, our chains and our cross, rather. So the chain represents our unbreakable union with the cross of Christ. And, of course, our chain holds our cross. And so it also reflects the three-strand cord that is not easily broken. And when you wear it, you're wearing it declaring that I come in the name of the Lord and that you are willing to be a sacrifice for those that don't know him. Now, just want to remind some or introduce to some that when you are in your civic attire, and for those that require a chain, you are wearing your chain in your civic attire. The cross goes in the pocket, in the chest, the breast pocket. When you are wearing your choral dress, your cross is exposed. It is out. So I just want to remind you of that. Again, of course, on the day of the ordination, you will turn in your chain and your cross because that will also be vested upon you. The cross is a reminder of the glorious suffering of Christ, that we must bear our crosses daily. On your cross, it is not a crucifix. And so your cross will not have a Jesus on it or any individual on it. It will be a cross. And for those that require it, yours is supposed to be silver, and I think it's just the pastor. So your cross is silver. It can be ornate, but it should not have the amethyst stones or the red stones or purple or scarlet stones or anything like that. And so it is probably easier to just use a ornate silver cross without stones in it, because the stones are worn by the apostles and the bishops and the overseers and things like that. But when you wear it, it is an open reminder. It is an open declaration of the victory of the cross. It is a reminder and a declaration that we are, that you are dead to sin, that you are alive forevermore. It is you declaring that salvation has come to the world, and it declares your identity and your ecclesiastical position in the kingdom of God. You are not a sheep, you are a shepherd. You are not a lay member, you are a leader. You are the anointed and appointed of God. And you declare that openly. We encourage you to declare that openly, whether you have the cross on or not. And lastly, it is your Bible. And as we said last week, we want you to make sure that you have a real Bible. And we're not against anybody that has the electronic and the tablet and all that stuff and use it on your phone. But we just want to encourage you to have a bound Bible with pages and a cover, if only for that event, because we do want you to walk in with it. Some might actually get one as a gift. Maybe you can get your accountability partner to get you one and sign it and gift it to you. I only said that because I'm not an accountability partner this year. So that is all. And I did not do the Bible. And the reason why I did not do the Bible word for word, first of all, it's a lot of them there. But in actuality, I did not do them because I really want you to study that. Because I want you to be able to defend your faith in the Bible, defend your love of the Bible, determine and find out what the Bible means to you and be able to articulate it. And so I don't want to go through each of those. And I also want you to find out what the Bible says about itself, because man can't tell you what the Bible is. Only God can tell you what the Bible is. Only the Bible can tell you what the Bible is and what it should mean to you and why he wrote it and released it into the earth for us. You can play with the acronym, Basic Instruction Before Leaving Earth, or you can have your own meaning and be able to articulate and declare why the Bible is significant to you, what it means to you. I think I'm done. Are there any questions? My dog is trying to get outside.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Again,
amen.
Remember, you can text your questions to my phone. You may email any questions to the email address, cc_thorn, and you can always call me. We do appreciate the presentation by Elder Deborah and Pastor Hooks, and there's still so much more that you will be given, but we wanted to give you an overview of some of the basic things that you're going to start hearing about, some of the things that you have to go and purchase. We provided some pictures of them to just give you an idea. They're not exact things that you need to get, but they are. They will give you an idea with their proper things and the uses of we do want to acknowledge, I believe Bishop is on the line, and he can close us out today, and he will be addressing you next week on the offices that you are being elevated into, what their meanings are. We're going to look at, and we would like to have had some of your personality tests back and your gift assessments back so that we could address them more individually and not just in general. But we will definitely do that at the conference. That will be one of the days at the conference that we will individually do that. But we will, Bishop will be presenting to you the offices and their functions, what they look like, the variety of the way they may look, okay? Not any one specific set in stone, but just the gamut of what your elevation may look like. This is what you need to be expressing in your vision and in your mission. And you may say you don't have one. Elder Yvette shared with us last week, and she can give more clarity. We can do that. I like her example. As a reminder, and as Elder, if you're still on the line, if you can do that for our candidates to give them that brief summary of the difference between their mission statement and their vision statement. Elder?
Okay. Yes, I'm on the line. Okay.
Yeah.
What I said on last week was that the vision is what you see, which would be like the destiny, the end of it, what you picture, how it would be, what your goal is to do, and the mission would be the actual plan and working of how you plan to execute the action to get to the vision. So, in other words, I use the example of an old warehouse, but you see it as a beautiful banquet hall. Then the mission would be, how are you going to change this warehouse and make it become the banquet hall that you envision? So it would be the work that would be done to get to the vision of this being a banquet hall, which would be the working of it. So the action is your mission, how you plan to do what it is that you see. And the vision is the end of it, or as I said, the destiny of it, of where you are going.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. I encourage you all to get it done and get it in. Bishop, are you on the line? Can you go live?
But of course.
Of course, of course.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
We're closing out?
Yes, sir. Yeah. After you give them a summary of what you're going to do next week, or anything that you might want to share with them, didn't hear from you last week.
Well, I make this difficult every week. No, now, first of all, we just thank God for every opportunity to just come and learn more about the offices as well as what God is requiring for the garden. I know one thing we want to dispel is that, you know, it doesn't take all of that. Well, the truth of the matter is it does. We want to dispel the other lie, well, Jesus didn't wear that. Well, guess what? You don't know what Jesus is wearing now in heaven. And so we are representative of his order, and thus we wear the garment so that we can stand out, because people are desecrating the garments because they don't understand what it means, or they're giving high emphasis to the garment because they want position. So we really don't want to do the work that God has called for in this wonderful kingdom. So next week, what we're going to look at is, as I talk about the offices, I'm going to be talking about it from a perspective from this apostolic house. And so that's just going to be what I'm going to be highlighting, the type of government that you are coming under, and that's where we're going to be going with that. So I'm definitely excited about that. And so that as we close out, I think it's 8 o'clock on this side, and we got people on the East Coast as well as the West Coast. And so I'm going to pray from the first watch here. And this way, as they're entering into this first watch, which is a new day for them, as we are already starting the new day, we just want to take some control over some things. And on the East Coast, as they have entered into the second watch, they can begin to spill over. So Heavenly Father,
amen.
We thank you for every candidate. God, we thank you for what you have called them to do, especially in this hour. And so, God, the first thing we want to do, Heavenly Father, in this watch is we want to pray and silence all the voices or the curses of the enemy on our life, our family, our church, our city, our nation, oh, Heavenly Father. And so we thank you for every witch that is speaking. We take charge of the gates. We sever their tongues so that they may not release another curse. And we open up our mouths and we proclaim the gospel that our Lord and Savior is risen, and all power is in his hands, and he has given us that authority so that we may trample over scorpions and serpents and nothing can harm us. Thank you for selecting this group. Even now, Heavenly Father, you have called them, O God, to do a great work within the earth because they are needed. Nobody else can do it even now, Heavenly Father. So during this time of covenant renewal, O God, I pray, O God, that the New Testament, O God, become established and imprinted upon their hearts and inward parts, according to Jeremiah 31:31, that they would just begin to manifest the fruit that has never been seen before in their lives, O God. Everything that has been halted, O God, would just begin to blossom. Even now, O God, from the West Coast all the way to the East Coast, even now, O God. And for those who are in the second watch already, we thank you for the divine favor that they will just begin to display over their lives, over their family lives, O God. As we take hold of the gate, we pray for their families, and we just thank you, Heavenly Father, that you will put a shield of protection around them even now, Heavenly Father, that families will begin to reconnect, oh God, in a godly way, Heavenly Father, with a purpose to take over this wonderful earth. We walk in the fact that we ought to have dominion over this earth, Heavenly Father, so we love you. And God, we thank you, oh God, for the overseer. We thank you for the apostle of this ministry and all that you're doing just within her, oh God, and just the call that is necessary at this time. God, give them rest, give them peace. As they begin, oh God, to finish the prayer work, oh God, thank you for provision, oh God, that they don't have to worry about where the finances are coming from to get the items that you have required of them. But may they begin to open up their mouth and speak it into existence and call forth the finances, oh God, because we operate on your economy and not ours. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father, so we convene again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen.
All right.
I encourage our accountability partners to call your people and see how the meeting went for them. Amen.
Go by those Bibles.
Amen.
No, that's real. That's so real.
Amen. So invest real. In them. Invest in them. Hallelujah.
You know
thank
they're going
you.
To... They will rearrange the digital copies. So, yeah, go get you a bound one now. Study that.
Yeah, get you some paper.
Yeah, right. King James.
Amen. You'll be like the book of Eli. You'll be the only one that got one.
Oh, man,
the whole world
amazing.
Gonna be looking for your book. Amen.
Oh, man.
Amen. Thank you all so
there?
Much. Yes, sir.
Can you get a moment? Can you email me at the bond phone number? I was trying to search for it.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I would 419.
Oh.
I'll give it to you. I'll take it.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. All okay. righty. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. Sure. Right. Good night, everybody. And the
good
same
night.
Time next week, 7 o'clock.
All right.
All right.
Amen.
All right. Amen.